Where do we go from here? That's one of the big questions that brings you to this podcast. You come here to learn from experts about the latest news on the biggest stories that are impacting our lives and our families during this fateful year. In a year like 2020, you might feel especially grateful for every opportunity to be together, whether that's phone calls or video chats with people you love, or programs like 1A that give us space to connect over ideas and information. You can show your gratitude with a donation to your local NPR station. Just go to donate.npr.org/1A. So if you can afford to make a donation to support this program, it's very easy. Again, you can simply visit donate.npr.org/1A to make a gift to your local station. That's donate.npr.org/1A. And thanks. This is 1A. I'm Jen White. It's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but the holidays are looking a bit different in 2020. The boisterous family parties have been traded in for smaller at-home, meaning your home, celebrations, and the vast potluck dinners have been put on hold. But now that we won't be gathering around the table together, what do we cook for ourselves? And as traditions are upended in the interest of safety and health, how do we keep the cheer in our holidays? Here to talk us through the art of a small celebration is Ina Garten. She's the author of a dozen books. Her latest is called Modern Comfort Food. She's also the star of Food Network's Barefoot Contessa cooking show. Ina, it's so great to have you here.
So great to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk to you. Now, Ina, food is such an integral part of the holidays. What does food mean to you this time of year?
Well, I think we have this sense that one day follows the other after the other, and there's not that much difference. And I sometimes end up working through weekends, so we don't even know if it's Tuesday or Saturday. And it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think it's even more important to celebrate holidays now so that you have a sense of tradition, so you have a sense that life has some, you know, normalcy, even though it's a small celebration and it's just with the people in your household. I still think it's important to celebrate the holidays. And so that's what we do.
So what does an Ina Garten holiday look like this year?
I'm thinking for Christmas, I'm going to do like a turkey roulade. It's actually a recipe in my new book. It's a Tuscan turkey roulade with Tuscan herbs and spices. And then while it's a little, you know, it's a boneless turkey breast, so it's smaller than a huge turkey, and people can only find like 20-pound turkeys. This is much smaller. But also, I can serve it for Christmas Day, and then I can use the leftovers for other things. I can make sandwiches from it. I can incorporate it in a soup. I can, you know, there are a lot of things I can do with the leftovers. So that's what we're going to do. And for New Year's Eve, where you usually spend it in Paris, and I usually serve lemon cappellini with a dollop of caviar on top, which is really kind of, you know, simple but special. And I'm going to do the same thing here in East Hampton. We'll still have a wonderful holiday.
So are the big differences in the scale of the meals that you're preparing this year?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I you know, usually we gather with lots of people, and I just think it's dangerous. And I think it's crazy because we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, as everybody says, and we just need to get there. And to get there in any way that's less than as safe as absolutely possible. I kind of have this mantra for myself, is I do only the things I absolutely have to do, and I do them as safely as I can possibly do them. And that's a very limited number of things. And sure, I'd love to see my friends over the holidays, and I'd love to be with a bigger family, but I think it's a really dangerous thing to do, both for us and for the people that we ask to gather with us. So I'm thinking of everybody together. And even if you have the tests, you don't know whether you're a carrier, whether you will get it in 3 days. And you've just endangered all the people that you love the most, which is, to me, just crazy. So Jeffrey and I are very, very careful.
Yeah. You know, when I think about the way you approach meal planning and entertainment, it's about the food, but it's also about the table setting. It's about the feeling you create around the food. So for people who may be celebrating, it's just a couple of folks, or maybe you're even, you know, celebrating by yourself, what are some ways to think about trying to create that atmosphere for yourself with things you might just have around the house.
Exactly. I just think it's important to have flowers on the table, maybe pull out a great tablecloth that you only use for special times. I think each of these kind of trigger a sense of tradition. And even though the tradition is that you have more people around the table usually, it still has a sense of importance. And it just says to the people who are in your household, this is a big deal, this is a big day, and let's just celebrate it, the things that we have to celebrate. And everybody talks about the silver lining of the pandemic. I mean, there's really, the big picture is so horrible, it's unthinkable. But each person in their own way has really come to appreciate the things that are really important. It's not about being busy and having a million people around you. It's about really understanding what's important. And it's probably the people in your household. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what people need to just stop and remember to celebrate that.
Well, Barbara,
that we have homes and that we're safe and that we can get to the end of this. Mm-hmm.
Well, Barbara sent us this tweet. She asks, what are your favorite holiday entrees and why?
Well, there are two that I do a lot for Christmas. And I think they're both in my book, Barefoot Contessa Parties. One is a fillet of beef, which is an expensive cut of meat, but it's the simplest thing to make. And if you're doing it for a large group, you do a whole fillet of beef. But if you're doing it for a small group, you can just do a half a fillet of beef. And it cooks exactly the same amount of time because it's the thickness of the beef that determines the timing, not the size of it. And the other one I love is a rack of lamb with a mustard and balsamic and rosemary glaze on it. That too, I mean, it's a precise, very simple recipe, and it comes out perfectly every time. And so those are great holiday things along with the Tuscan turkey roulade.
Well, Sally from Seattle emails, what would you do for a holiday meal if you really didn't feel like cooking, yet couldn't bring yourself to order takeout or pre-made restaurant meals? What is the easiest celebratory dish to make? It'll just be me and my husband, and we're not feeling it this year. I think Sally echoes a lot of what people are feeling right now, and it's like, I don't want to cook, you know?
Don't want to cook at all, or just don't want to cook a lot.
So it sounds like she's torn between not really wanting to cook, but not really wanting to order takeout either. So she's looking for something just easy, but still celebratory to make.
Well, you know, Jeffrey and I did something the other night that was really fun. Is I made a big charcuterie platter and a big salad, and I did cheeses and prosciutto and salami and clementines and chutney and cheddar and I made a big green salad, which was basically arugula with lemon vinaigrette, and we had a wonderful dinner and a glass of wine, and it was completely assembled, never turned on the stove, and it just felt celebratory. So that might be a good idea.
We do that sometimes in my house. I'll just get a bunch of, I call it a nibble dinner. We're going to have a nibble dinner. And we just have a plate of things and we just nibble. Well, in Holly,
you know what? It's great. It's just great. And it's not, you know, it's not the normal dinner. It's not, you know, mac and cheese. It's something a little different that makes you stop and think, it's a holiday and let's be a little crazy and celebratory.
Well, I think Holly is sort of taking a cue from this. She emails, this year, instead of a turkey and all the fixings for everyone, since the crowd is so much smaller, we're preparing turkey meatballs, potato croquettes, and cranberry brie bites to celebrate with all the fixings, but in small scale and with safe handling portions, but still making things feel special. That's a great suggestion, Holly.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is I think if people are combining households and trying to do it as safely as possible, I mean, if you can avoid it, I highly recommend avoiding it. But if you can't, just make sure everybody has their own little buffet on the table so that you're not passing dishes back and forth. So sometimes it's, you know, if I'm making pasta, I'll make the pasta and I'll put it in two bowls, and each group of, you know, each household gets their own at the other end of the table. So we're not bringing things over to them and they're not bringing things over to us or passing dishes.
Well, Carmel has a similar idea. She tweets, we're doing a forest time cookie exchange with 9 neighbors. Maybe it will be a new tradition. Drop off at the door. What's Ina's favorite cookie, she wants to know?
Actually, one of my favorite cookies is in the new book. It's their chocolate dipped brown sugar shortbread. Ooh. And what they are is just shortbread that I make with, I brown the sugar, I use brown sugar on them. And then I dip them in chocolate with some pecans. They're sort of peppermint farm cookies, but so much better.
Oh, are you dipping them in a milk chocolate or a darker chocolate?
You can do either one, but I did milk chocolate. You know, if you test all of the different chocolates, people really like milk. They say they like dark chocolate, but what they really like is milk chocolate.
I don't know. I'm not convinced. I'm a pretty hardcore dark chocolate lover myself. Now, Ina, a more serious question for you, because, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of people have been hit pretty hard financially this year. Any suggestions for some budget-friendly holiday meals?
Well, I mean, certainly you can make mac and cheese, and it's just delicious. If you make the real thing, not out of a box, you'll be really surprised how incredibly special something like that can be. You can make, I mean, any kind of pasta is really very reasonably priced to make. Make canned tomatoes and all kinds of spices, and you make a pasta arrabbiata, something like that's very reasonable. So, I guess this is really not a holiday thing, but I love it so much, is my Parmesan chicken, which I do with Parmesan and breadcrumbs, and just saute and serve with a salad with lemon vinaigrette on the top. It's a very inexpensive meal. It's, one boneless chicken breast that's been pounded thin and then sauteed, and it's just great.
Mm-hmm. What about polenta? I remember I threw a polenta party, a birthday party for a friend of mine some years ago.
A polenta party?
Yeah. Where
what
is
that?
I made a huge crock of polenta, and mm-hmm. then I served it with a bolognese. I served it with pesto. I think I might have had one other, and people could sort of make a plate and try these different toppings to polenta.
What a good idea.
It was so much fun. It was so
fun. And it's very inexpensive. That's really great. I actually have a recipe in the new book about roasted sausage and peppers and onions, and I serve it on polenta. And that's, instead of doing it on the top of the stove where everything gets spattered and, everybody's covered in the stove and you are both covered in grease, I actually do it in the oven, and it's just delicious. And polenta is such an easy thing to make. You just stir it, and serve it with sausage and peppers on top, which is, that's a great holiday meal.
That sounds good. Well, Kristen tweets, "We are making a Mexican pozole Christmas stew. Suggestions on what to serve with it." Any thoughts?
Well, pozole's great. You mean as a side dish or on top of it?
I think she's thinking more about some side dishes to go along with it.
Well, it kind of just has everything in it, doesn't it?
Right.
I might just serve a salad to start and then just serve the pozole.
Yeah, and for folks who are unfamiliar, it's this really lovely stew with meat and a really rich broth, and it has hominy in it. I love, love, love pozole. So, yeah, I think a salad
too.
Alongside.
And all the stuff on top with it. You know, we put crispy, I can't think of the word.
See, radishes a lot of times are there. And
oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I do the kinds of things you put on chili, like chips and sour cream and chopped onion, things like that on it. Sure mine isn't classic Mexican pozole, but...
Well, Dan emails, "Christmas is always the time we make tamales together at home. Not being able to go home to be with my parents, I'll be making a few big batches here at my home alone. I'm happy to continue this tradition in New Hampshire, though it'll be sad and maybe difficult to do without my father's help." And Cece emails, "This year, I'm making tamales with my husband and kids, just like my mom's family does every Christmas Eve. Since we cannot travel to be with them, we are bringing the tradition to our home. This is a first for me." What is Ina's favorite tradition?
What's my favorite tradition? My goodness. Well, today's my 52nd anniversary. So
happy anniversary.
All the traditions are like from Jeffrey and me, and not so much from my family. I don't know. I think it's important to, I love Thanksgiving. We always do a very similar meal. A turkey and I try and reinvent things by doing like smashed sweet potatoes, but I do it with chipotle. I love things that are traditional but done in a fresh way. So that's what I'm going to try and do for for Christmas and New Year's.
So I want to hear a little bit more about the sweet potatoes with chipotle, because that sounds intriguing.
Well, you just roast potatoes. And actually, in the new book, I even made it simpler. I made a chipotle butter. And so you roast sweet potatoes the way you would a baked potato, and then split them open and do a dollop of chipotle butter in it. So it's got a little orange zest and orange and chipotle, so it's kind of sweet and spicy at the same time. It's just great. Or you can make a smashed sweet potatoes with the chipotle butter in it.
That sounds really good. I'm still planning my menu, so that may be added to the list now. Well, you know, a lot of our relationship with food and cooking, I think for a lot of folks, it's changed during the pandemic. Has it changed for you, your relationship to food?
Well, it has, because in the first 2 months, we didn't even know whether we could go out of the house, let alone shop for food. So we didn't know whether there was talk of the supply chains being changed. And so I think we all kind of stocked up on shelf goods, things that would last for a long time. And then all of a sudden we were like, oh, my God, what do we do with those cannellini beans that we thought was such a good idea in March? I've always hated leftovers, but I found that if we have to cook lunch and dinner every single day, which is pretty much what I've been doing, in addition to working on books and TV and everything else that I do, and Instagram, I've kind of gotten a new appreciation for leftovers. So I'm better at figuring out a way to use something that's left over in a new way. So that's been fun. That's been a real challenge.
We're discussing the art of a small holiday with Ina Garten. She's the author of a dozen books. Her latest is called Modern Comfort Food. She's also the star of Food Network's Barefoot Contessa cooking show. I'm Jen White. We'll hear more from Ina and from you in a moment.
This message comes from NPR sponsor AT&T. There's a lot that's different about this school year. But one thing that hasn't changed is AT&T's commitment to education. They're focused on keeping students and teachers connected to learning. It's why AT&T has connected over 200 million students with tools and technology for distance learning. Learn more at att.com/remote learning.
I'm Guy Raz, and on NPR's How I Built This, how Tim Ferriss, as an entrepreneur, author, investor, and podcaster, turned himself into a multi-million dollar brand. Subscribe or listen now.
Now let's get back to the art of a small or solo holiday with Ina Garten. She's the author of a dozen books. Her latest is called Modern Comfort Food. She's also the star of Food Network's Barefoot Contessa cooking show. Mary emails, after cooking 2 ducks every Christmas for years, my family wanted something different, so we're having Ina's rack of lamb persillade, also a great family favorite. Ina, your latest book, Modern Comfort Food, is pretty aptly timed, because I think a lot of us have been turning to comfort food lately. Why did you decide to focus on comfort food?
Well, what a good guess that was. Right? Who knew? In 2018, when I was thinking about what I wanted to write for my next book, I thought about what was going to be going on in October of 2020, and I realized there was going to be a very contentious election. And no matter what side of the aisle you were on, you were going to be cranky. And I thought, well, why don't I write a book about comfort food? And so, as long as I was doing that, I thought, well, I'll do it in a fresh way. So I'll make it more modern, kind of lighten up classic comfort food, make it easier to cook. You know, each recipe has something that makes it better, more flavor, whatever it is. Little did I know that there was going to be a pandemic, that there were going to be huge issues like social justice issues and, you know, all kinds of things that are so important and so stressful for everybody. So, and that, I mean, I couldn't possibly have imagined that we would be in our houses and restaurants would be closed. So, you know, here we are with a cookbook for modern comfort food, which turned out to be, I'm really happy that I wrote it.
Yeah, pretty well timed. Do you have a favorite recipe in this cookbook?
That's like asking me about my children. I don't have children, but their favorite. Well, there's one I worked on for a really long time, and it's Boston cream pie, and it's actually pretty good, which is, of course, as you know, it's not a pie at all. It's usually a vanilla cake with kind of vanilla cream filling and chocolate drizzle on the outside. And for years and years and years, I was working on this recipe. I had an idea about what I wanted it to be, to kind of bring out all of the flavors, to add a little orange to the cake, to add a little cognac, maybe to an orange and Grand Marnier to the filling, the cream filling, and then make the chocolate more flavorful with a little coffee. And those, I thought those flavors would kind of really bump up the flavor. But getting the layers right, the layers of flavor, so one thing doesn't overpower the other, I would work on it for a while. I'd put it away and say, I'll do it next year. And then I'd take it out again and start all over again. And then one day I was talking to Christina Tozzi, who's the founder of Milk Bar. And she's very famous for her incredibly flavorful desserts. And she was interviewing me at Barnes & Noble, and she said, is there a recipe you've been working on for a long time? And I said to her, yeah, there is one. And it's Boston cream pie, and I just can't get it right. And I said, I just can't get enough flavor into the cake. And she said, have you ever tried a soak, which she's very famous for, which is basically making it in like an orange juice and sugar syrup and brushing it on the cake, and that keeps it very moist and flavorful. So I came back, I made all of the parts again, I made the soak, I brushed it on, and I thought it was really good, but it was just missing that extra thing. And of course, my assistant thought it was delicious, but I, in my head, I wanted it to be even better. And my assistant, Lottie, at the time said, have you ever thought of putting Grand Marnier into the soak? And I thought, that was a great idea. So I put a little Grand Marnier in. I baked the cake again. I made the glaze. I made the cream. I put it together. And I thought, oh, that's exactly what I was looking for. So that recipe's in the book. I've done all the work, so you don't have to.
Well, you know, it's funny because Boston cream pie is one of those desserts. It's always a little too sweet for me, but it sounds like there might
boring,
be enough.
Right?
Yeah. There's
it's
enough
just
complexity
chocolate and vanilla.
There.
Like, there's nothing... nothing in it. And people swoon over it, but this one's really good.
So I have to ask you, when you're testing these recipes, who eats them?
Well, our highest compliment is get that out of here right now before we eat the whole thing. If we say that, it usually ends up in a book. But, you know, I have assistants. And also, I don't like anybody to get something that's not really good. So if it's okay and not good enough for a cookbook, it usually goes in the trash because I just don't want somebody to say, oh, this is a Barefoot Contessa cake. Oh, it's not that good.
Barron emails, today's show is called Small or Solo Cooking Options, though I haven't heard Ina suggest any solo ideas. Might she address any help?
Solo ideas. Well, it depends on how much you like to cook. For me, cooking is about bringing people together. So I almost never cook by myself. But I think if I were on my own and I wanted to kind of mark the holidays, I might do it in this case. So I would do something that's like a soup or a stew or, you know, something like a baked fish chowder in modern comfort food, which you can make a pot of it, you know, serve yourself something really special for the holiday, and then freeze the rest so you can have it another time. So anything that has like a sauce or a stock in it, I think is freezes really well. So I think that's what I would do.
And if you decided to go that route, so you have, you know, maybe a fish stew of some sort, simple salad on the side of that, crusty
Absolutely.
Bread.
Okay. Exactly. And you're good to go.
And the other thing I like about that idea is that it's something you can get done, I think, relatively quickly. You're not slaving over the stove for hours and hours, and then, you know.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Also the fish chowder, it's made with halibut and bacon and potatoes and celery and thyme, white wine. I mean, it's got a lot in it, a little saffron, and it's got a lot of flavor in it. But if you had some shrimp or you had some other kind of seafood, it would be equally delicious with any kind of seafood. So you can make it as just a fish chowder, or you could just add other seafood and make it a seafood stew.
So we got another question. Sylvie emails, I'm staying in a 16-foot camper for the holidays. What recipes does Ina have that can be cooked on a 2-burner stove and small microwave? So this may be a bit of a challenge, Ina, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think a 2-burner stove, you can make lots of things. What would you want to make on a 2-burner stove? So there's no oven at all, right?
No oven at all.
Any kind of a stew, I think, would be great. You could make like a shellfish stew and chorizo stew. It's all on the top of the stove. and you just, you know, pot and you just throw everything in. I think that would be fabulous. Mm. I don't cook in a microwave. I use a microwave to do things like melt butter, but or heat up a cup of tea or something. It's probably sacrilegious to make tea in a microwave, but I've been known to do it in a hurry. But I think I would make a pot of something on top of the stove. Mm-hmm. With two burners, you can pretty much do anything.
Well, we'll have to take another quick break, but we have a lot more to talk about with chef and author Ina Garten right after this. I'm Jen White. This is 1A from WAMU and NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe has an arsenal of sensors and cameras that protect every inch of your home. Simply Safe has your back 24/7 with professional monitoring for break-in, fire, flooding, or medical emergencies. You can easily set it up yourself in about 30 minutes. Get a free home security camera when you purchase a Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/NPR1A. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial.
Hi, it's Jen. Just a quick reminder that you can make a donation to support this program, and it's very easy. Simply visit donate.npr.org/1A to make a gift to your local station. That's donate.npr.org/1A. And thank you so much for your support. This is 1A. And we're continuing our conversation with Ina Garten about the many ways we will be cooking for the holidays. And let's bring in some calls. Here's Kristen from Michigan.
First off, I want to say, Ina, that we've always enjoyed your shows. When my daughter was very little, she used to dance to your theme song. So anyway, one thing that we'll be doing on Christmas Eve is carrying out an old family tradition of making homemade pierogi. And we add some modern things, too. My daughter likes to make one of those breads that you stuff with mozzarella cheese that looks like a Christmas tree.
A cheesy bread shaped as a Christmas tree sounds incredibly cute. Any advice for good dishes you can make with kids?
Well, any kind of cookies I think are great to make with kids. The first thing when I'm cooking with kids, what I want to know is what do they want to eat? And if they want to eat it, they're going to be involved in cooking it. So I think any kind of cookies that you can slice and bake are fun, or shortbread cookies. I have one shortbread dough from my first book, The Barefoot Contessa Cookbook, that I make all different kinds of Christmas cookies out of. It's one dough. You cut them out in different shapes. Some become Linzer cookies with raspberry jam in the middle. Some become hearts dipped in chocolate, shortbread hearts dipped in chocolate. Some of them become Christmas wreaths with a little a drizzle of a glaze on it with like silver balls on the Christmas wreath. You can make lots of different things out of one cookie dough, which is fun for the kids. They like cutting things out.
Well, we get this baking-related tweet from Joanne who says, when baking, do you really need good vanilla? Experts say that in some baked goods, you can't tell the difference between real vanilla and artificial. Should we save the good stuff for non-baked desserts?
You know, the good stuff is expensive, but you don't use that much. So, I mean, I have a bottle of vanilla for forever. In fact, I make my own vanilla, which is great. I think it really makes a difference. Of course, it depends on what you're making. If you're making a vanilla pudding, of course it makes a difference. Or vanilla ice cream, it makes a difference. I'd be curious if you tasted them side by side and if you couldn't tell the difference. But it depends on how much vanilla is in the product. If it's some vanilla and some almond extract, maybe you won't be able to tell it as much. But I can really tell the difference.
Beth from Chicago emails, my girlfriend and I are spending the holidays just the two of us this year. My birthday was recent and I was gifted some cast iron skillets. We're breaking them in with some pork chops with the mushroom garlic gravy for Christmas dinner and a frittata with shallots, chèvre, and sun-dried tomatoes for Christmas breakfast. Arthur emails, going with barbecue salmon and fresh oysters this year instead of turkey. And Patricia emails, I love being creative with leftovers. One favorite is spinach dip folded into scrambled eggs, sprinkled with shaved Parmesan cheese. All great suggestions. And we got this question from Barbara who says, I have a lovely good-sized rabbit that I want to serve for Christmas. What do you recommend for preparation? Rabbit pie?
I've never made a rabbit in my life.
We stumped Ina. What?
I've been doing interviews for 20 years. I'm stumped. I have no idea. I'm sorry.
Have you ever
made a rabbit?
I've never made a rabbit, but I've had rabbit before. I was traveling with my best friend. We were in Italy, and there was this little this little mom and pop restaurant in, where were we? We were in Fellini, I think it was. And it was out of their home. The wife cooked, the husband did front of house, and they did this incredible Tuscan fry of like fried mushrooms and fried rabbit and fried chicken and, you know, just all of these veggies from their garden. And it was delicious, but it is the one and only time I've eaten rabbit, and I've never cooked it. So
I have no idea how to, I'm sorry, I can't help.
Well, we got this other voicemail from someone who is an admirer of yours.
Hi, my name is Annette, and I just heard about the opportunity to get some input from Einegard. We are having a wedding in the middle of COVID with very few people, and it will have to be outside in Denver, Colorado. And I was wondering if she had any great ideas for food we could serve. We were going to do lentils, which is a Hungarian New Year's tradition for good luck, a lentil stew, and grazing boards, but I thought maybe she had some good ideas for our grazing boards. Thank you so much. Bye.
Ina, any thoughts?
Well, I think it's a great idea to do a lentil stew. And then I would do something like the charcuterie platter to go with it. And then each household can have their own platter, which makes it quite easy. Mm-hmm. And it's all assembled. I'm assuming it's at home. So, I mean, I think she said it's at home. So you want to do something that's very simple. And maybe even for dessert, instead of having a wedding cake, which is hard to do, do a tiers of cupcakes. So everybody has their own special cake. Mm. And people aren't sharing things.
Yeah,
that sounds like fun.
Well, Todd asks, do you have a mac and cheese recipe that you can share, please?
I do. In fact, I have a wild mushroom mac and cheese in this latest book, and it's really good. And it's just somehow when you make your own, yeah, it's a truffle mac and cheese, and it takes something very kind of everyday and makes it into a really special kind of holiday dinner.
Hmm. And do you do sort of a bechamel base, or are you layering cheeses? How are you doing it?
I do a bechamel base, and I do sautéed wild mushrooms, and then I add a little bit of truffle. I think there's truffle butter in it, which sounds like it's 3 ounces of truffle butter, which I just order on the internet and store them in the freezer. It's a 3 ounce cup of white truffle butter, and it's got so much flavor, and I think it's like $6 to $8, and the rest of the dish is so inexpensive, it doesn't, you know, that's basically the expense of the dish. Mm-hmm. And it's so special and so flavorful, and it's still mac and cheese, so everybody just feels like it's such good food. I mean, it just really makes people feel good and smile. So I think that's a great thing for like Christmas Eve with a big salad. Mm-hmm. Be wonderful.
I think we have time for one more quick call.
Hi, my name is Gallery Lipkin, and I'm calling from San Clemente, California. And I'm calling because I absolutely love Barefoot Contessa. When I think about quality and dynamics and goodness and positivity, I keep thinking about all kinds of different things during COVID and what I want to pursue as far as a career. And I love the culinary arts. And I just wonder, is that something that I should keep on pursuing? Because during this whole COVID, it seems like restaurants are really going under, unfortunately. And is it even worth trying?
I know we've only got about 30 seconds here, but any thoughts?
I think the food business is really fun and exciting. I think this is a momentary pause, but there are so many different ways to do food. I think I would recommend a person go to a school like French Culinary. There are a lot of culinary schools. Learn the basics and then figure out what to do with it.
Hmm. That's Ina Garden. She's the author of a dozen books. Her latest is called Modern Comfort Food. She's also the star of Food Network's Barefoot Contessa cooking show. Ina, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jen. It was really fun. Have a happy holiday.
Same to you. And a couple of other notes from you. Diana tweets, we went from considering homemade pizzas to maybe ordering a paella. Still not sure what our menu will be. And Brock emails, my partner and I are doing Christmas differently this year since no traveling. I'm cooking Ina's lamb shanks with some other sides for a Middle Eastern non-traditional meal. Love, Ina. Well, remember, we have a text club. We'll only ever send you one text today, and it's the fastest way to connect with us. Details about how to sign up can be found in the Ask 1A tab at the1a.org. This conversation was produced by Michelle Harvin, and our podcast is produced by Matthew Simonson. To learn more about them and the rest of the team, visit the1a.org. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks so much for listening, and let's talk again tomorrow. This is 1A.